knowing God. Job chapter 12, verses 12 to 25 is our text. And just one thought, God does. And we begin with this introductory thought. We ask, can a man know God? God reveals himself to us, and that is how we know him. He reveals himself to us in nature, in his creation. He reveals himself to us through his prophets in the Old Testament. In the fullness of time, through his Son Jesus Christ. The apostles whom Christ raised up to write the New Testament scriptures. Someone asked me the other day, is there a Bible study whereby you study the Bible chronologically? In other words, you study the Bible according to the timeline from the beginning to the end. What does it look like? Well, the book of Job is the first book of the Bible, and here is the book that reveals to us in a very intimate way the person of God. In the study of the book of Job, we get to know the person of God very clearly, especially because you would find that God is featured in the beginning, few chapters. What happened in heaven is recorded for us. And in the last chapters of the Bible, of this book of Job, whereby God himself would speak and reveal himself. We were having our Bible study just before this time, before our prayer meeting, and we spoke about God speaking directly to men, and we were studying the baptism of Christ. Do you notice that in the baptism of Christ, the Father spoke in heaven, the dove descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wow! It's the first time God spoke. God the Father spoke to reveal his Son to us, to authenticate his Son to us. At Mount Sinai, when God gave the law to Moses, God did not speak. God spoke to us through the stone tablets that were written, right, with his own hands. God revealed himself to us. And here, we want us to learn in this text how Job was someone who knows God. How well do you know God? How well do you understand who God is? In this text, Job speaks of the wisdom, the power, and the sovereignty of God. It causes us to humbly bow in adoration and submission to God. You see, man on his own is proud, you know. Man cannot find or cannot bring himself to submit to a being who does whatever he pleases and can overrun him as he pleases. if you are a man, well, would you allow another being to have so much sway over your life? Well, if you have it your own way, then you say no. But with God, He's such a being that you cannot negotiate with Him. You can't go on the table and negotiate in that sense. He is who He is, of course. If you are His children, then you have that opportunity to speak to Him, just as Abraham did. What did Abraham do when his nephew Lot was in Sodom and the angels came and informed Abraham that the cities would be destroyed? What did Abraham do? He negotiated with God, right? He said, God, if there's 50 righteous, please save the city. If there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 10. And God acceded to his request. But there was not even 10 righteous in the city of Sodom. And so fire came down from heaven to destroy. Job was someone who knows God. And although he knows God in an intimate way, but he could not fathom why God allowed him to go through setback in his life. You go through setback in your life, setbacks that you just feel that you cannot handle, so great. And you ask yourself why. Why God allow you to go through such great, big setbacks in your life? For Job, he understood who his God is. And he says this in verse 12 and 13. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he has counsel and understanding. What is Job saying here? Well, he says here that God's wisdom and his understanding is so great. There are few who truly know God and understand Him. And there are few who truly have wisdom. There are those who may, you know, spend their days to gather knowledge. But before time passed, they became old, they became weak. They are unable to carry out perhaps the wisdom that God has given to them. But here, Job is saying to us that God is not like men. Right? Men, you live for a while and, you know, we go to our eternal home. But for God, He has wisdom and strength. What He plans, He's able to carry out. And if you know God, and if you know what He's doing with your life, then you find that there is a kind of peace that God would impart to you as you live through life. Verse 14 describes what God does in our lives. He says, behold, He breaketh down and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man and there can be no opening. God does what He wants. And no one can stay His hand. He does as He pleases. Right? The Malay word is suka. Suka. Right? He does what He pleases, and you can't restrain Him. Right? Truly, as the commentator Adam Clark says, He alone can create, and He alone can destroy. And nothing can be annihilated but by the same power that created it. So, you see, God is such a wonderful creator, but He's also one that breaks down. He builds up, and He was also involved in the breaking down. The Bible describes for us many ancient empires, ancient cities, how they rise to such great heights, and how after that they fall to such great depths. The Babylonian Empire, how Nebuchadnezzar was the great absolute monarch and king of the greatest empire in his time. And yet, you know, the Bible records for us that there was one point in his life God caused him to become like an animal. For 7 years he lived like an animal, like an ox, feeding on the grass of the field. Wow! He was the mighty king. And yet God caused him to, you know, become such a lowly estate. And there was some discernment within him, but he could not control what his life has become. And when Nebuchadnezzar finally acknowledged God, he said, "There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And I acknowledge Him. I know that this is the God of heaven." Then God restored him to his kingdom again. He was able to become king again, to sit on his throne as king. Right, then he said, after his ordeal, he said, "I know that there is a God in heaven. And this God in heaven doeth whatever He does. None can stay His hand." And he learned to submit. He learned to lift, subsist under God. Do we learn to subsist under God? Well, Job was learning to subsist under God. God gave him wealth. God took away his wealth. God gave him children. God took away his children. God gave him servants. God took away his servants. And as he faced the changing scenes of his life, right, as he wrote there, "Behold, he breaketh down," verse 14, "and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening." He realized that, wow, when the sickness came upon him, he was so sick. He was so reduced to such a terrible state. Indeed, there is a God in heaven who controls all things, who does as He pleases. And we need to know that there is such a God in heaven. And verse 15 says, "Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overrun the earth. you remember when the Israelites were confronted with the dead end of the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea so that they went over on dry land. It was the only escape as Pharaoh's army came close to destroy them. Psalm 136, verse 12 to 16 described that event. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. The Israelites saw the parting of the Jordan River so that they would walk on dry land. You see, if you are the people of God, you realize that God is taking care of you. And God will do you good. And you have the confidence because of what God is doing in your life. When Israel had to enter the promised land, God opened the Jordan River the second time. Right? The Red Sea was the first. The second was the Jordan River. How the rushing current suddenly part itself. The power of God. And we realize that indeed, you know, we have a God who has a plan. And if we are walking together with Him, aligned with Him, you'll find that, you know, when you are in the plan of God, you are in the will of God, you are doing the things of God, you'll find that God is there to help you. God is there to show you what He wants you to do. And you realize that you are a most privileged person. With Him is strength, verse 16 says. The deceiver and the deceived are His. Now, here is described a very interesting wisdom. The deceiver and the deceived are both the tools of God. You know that Satan, although has so powerful to be able to cause so much harm to Job, but Satan cannot harm Job without the permission of God. And so you see that there is someone that is overall in charge. Even the most evil of the evil in this world has no power over him. And so God wants us to know, and Job is highlighting to us, that there is a God. There is a God in heaven. And that we must know Him. And that we must know who He is and what He's doing in our lives, what He's doing for us. Right. Verse 17, He leadeth counselors away, spoiled, and maketh judges fools. Right. He tells us that, you know, you can be the chief of men, right, but if God were to intervene in the events that are happening, your wisdom just cannot defeat the wisdom of God. He loses the bond of kings and girded their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and he overthroweth the mighty. He tells us that the kings, the most powerful people on earth in the sight of God, is nothing. None can stay his hand. He removeth, verse 20, away the speech of the trusty. He taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. Indeed, the Apostle Paul observed well this paradox of God, using the seemingly useless and put to naught the supposedly wise. 1 Corinthians 1:25-29. He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things that are despised God has chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Why is it that God called some fishermen to be His messengers? Well, they are the lowest class in society. And why is it that God chose to reveal to shepherds in the field the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, perhaps these are men, right, who had nothing to boast, and they have their feet on the ground, and what God revealed to them, they would be honest enough to just receive it, accept it with joy. Well, this was how the church began. God used a wisdom, not of strong men, but of weak. Our Lord Himself, you know, when He entered Jerusalem on a donkey, they thought that He would be riding with a white horse with all the army with Him. No, He rode on that little donkey into Jerusalem. That's the King of the Jews. The people, of course, did not accept Him, because they thought that the deliverer who comes must be someone that is so powerful that he can overthrow the Roman army. A show of force. But God has a different way by which He was accomplishing His plan, you see. Christ is going to come, and He's going to have to suffer in order that He may die upon the cross to redeem sinful men. So the humble would receive that message. Two thieves on the cross. One of them said, "This is the Lord, you know." And Jesus said to him, "You will be with me in paradise." Job was someone who faced so much distress in his life that, you know, he's humbled before God. Sometimes God allows us to go through very difficult trial. It's as if everything is going to break down, and you realize that, wow, there is no way out except to rely on the Lord, except to wait upon God, except to trust in Him, and to realize that if God says no, it means no. No way ahead. And, you know, as it were, we waiting upon God, we said like a dead duck, in a sense that, you know, we know that we are finished if God is not going to show mercy.
Job was going through such times. Very tough. Things were all breaking down all around him. Or things have already been is broken down. If God doesn't do anything, God doesn't favor him, all is gone. And he knew it. But he could do nothing to help himself. He could do nothing to help his situation except to submit himself to God. Have you come to such a situation in your such a state in your life? Well, Job is facing this in his life. He realized that there's nothing much he could do anymore. God wants to turn it well, he can turn it well, but he doesn't. He goes on suffering. This is God. He chooses to do as he pleases. Is God not merciful? Is God not going to help his people? Well, as we think about this, of this aspect of God's attribute, right? How powerful he is, how wise he is, and how, you know, we have no way out with him, we realize that as a child of God, we have to exercise faith to trust him. Exercise faith to leave all things to him. Can you do that? To leave it to him. In other words, you have to let go, you know. Let go. I remember there was one time we were asked to perform something like an exercise in a group. It's called the trust ladder. Some of you may have heard this. On the wall was placed a ladder, and one person is supposed to climb up that ladder, and then he's supposed to fall backward, and all the rest of the group are supposed to have their hands raised up, high wall, you know, high wall. When the man falls, you're supposed to hold him. So I was asking myself, wow, if those pair of hands are weak, I'm going to fall flat, you know. I'm going to have some broken bones. I have to depend on them. They better be strong or better be alert. At that time I was contemplating, praying about the full-time ministry. And how to go about it, having to resign from the work, and what to do after that, how to handle, it was a new phase. And I learned in that illustration, in that exercise, that if God is the one that is holding you, you know that this is what God is asking you to do, then you can be very assured that he will take care of you. You are walking in his will. He will be there to uphold you. And we have to know how God's will and God's purpose for our lives too. So that, you know, we may follow him and trust him to lead us wherever he wants us to go. And so Job understood that this God is great, powerful, sovereign. He does what He wants. But for us, well, we have to know what His will is and follow Him. Job understood who God is. And, you know, throughout his ordeal, he did not lose faith. In the thickest of his trial, he continued to maintain himself before God. How can you maintain faith and keep faith in the midst of all the trials in life that comes to you? Right, as we were mentioning in our Bible study earlier, we need to be taking time to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, take time to draw close to God, to know who God is, to understand His mind, to understand His workings, so that when circumstances come upon you, right, you have a faith that is within you to not crumble, but continue to maintain your way before Him. That's the life of faith. And God wants us to live such a life. God wants you to live such a life. And so, if you have God holding you, are you willing to let go? Let go of all your worries, in the sense that, you know, let God take care. Let Him lead and let Him order it however He deems it fit. Sometimes, you know, we don't want that. We don't want God's will. God, if you think, what if your mind is like that? Then, I don't want to go that way. But God's will is the best for us, you know. Sometimes we cannot see, we cannot understand why. Right? But we can trust God's wisdom, can trust Him, His mind, to plan it good for us from beginning to end. If you have entrusted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then let us submit ourselves to Him, allow God to do what He wants us to do in His life, in our life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy, Thy grace. Strengthen us, Lord. And grant to us a heart that is tender, willing to submit to Thy will, and willing to trust Thee, whatever that comes our way. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.